Galatians today, Galatians chapter 2. I've missed Galatians. It's been a while since we've been in Galatians. But we're going to look at verses 6 through 10 of chapter 2 today. And initially I was like, what in the world am I going to talk about for 15 minutes from those verses? But in studying, I've got at least 17 minutes of information. But I'm really excited at the application, at the truths that are found in this passage that we could easily overlook, that we could easily miss. I'm just excited, so we'll get started on it. So the title of the message is The Same Source. I don't know if you look at your bulletins ever, but you'll find that in there. I'm going to give some background information, and then we will jump into the text. So what's going on, what's been going on, is that Paul has been under attack. His gospel, his ministry, his life, it's been under attack by people trying to add works to grace. So they are attacking Paul, saying, you're a fake, you're a phony, your gospel's not true, this is the truth. He's under attack. He has not messed around with words. He stated clearly what he does for God. No matter what anybody thinks, no matter what anybody says, Paul, his whole purpose in life is pleasing God, doing what God has for him. Verse number 10 of chapter 1, you can find this. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Paul's focus, Paul's goal. I'm a servant of Christ. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you think. I have the truth from God. I'm going forward with that. He is delivering the true gospel. Any other gospel is not a gospel at all. And we saw that in verses 6 through 9 of chapter 1. You can look back at that if you want. He defended salvation by grace through faith at all costs. No matter who rejected him, no matter who hated on him, he was defending salvation by grace through faith, period. In our study today, he's going to point out another relevant truth in his efforts to defend salvation by grace through faith. Think back to Acts 15. I know that was like a month and a half ago or something. But there was a big council that was discussing what the Judaizers were teaching. Do we need to add circumcision? Do we need to add keeping all the laws to grace for true salvation? That's what the council was about. What they decided? Absolutely not. Salvation is by grace through faith. That was decided in Acts 15. And you can see that in verse 11 if you want to. No additions. Salvation by grace through faith. They had this meeting, they had this council because there were Judaizers sneaking into the church claiming apostolic authority. And again, reference Acts 15 if you want the details for this. So these sham Christians, as they were called, are sneaking into the church and they are claiming we have authority from the apostles. Peter says, no, they don't have authority from us. And what these Judaizers were doing was adding works and tradition to grace for salvation. We know that's a problem because grace and works don't go together. You can't mix grace and works and still have true grace. We'll talk about that in a little bit. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But the bottom line is they did not have apostolic authority. They were spreading lies. Apostolic authority was a big deal, and people put stock in that. They put big time stock in that. And you understand the timing that's going on here. The church is being started for the most part. It's growing, you know, and these apostles are who God left in charge of starting the church. So big deal to have apostolic authority. So the three top leaders in this regard would have been Peter, James, and John. And we'll find that as we get into our text today. We have a record of Paul meeting with them and others in Galatians 1 and 2. We were there like a month ago. Then we went to Acts 15 and talked about that. They sent him away after confirming his gospel. Paul knew his gospel was right before he even went there. So I want to get that clear. But their approval would add to his validity in the minds of some people. Do you remember Galatians 2:2? And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which are of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Paul knew what he was doing wasn't in vain. He knew he had the right gospel. He knew he had the truth. He went there and met with them, and that would help others recognize his validity with that apostolic authority, just proving that it wasn't in vain what he was doing. And they approved of him, and they sent him away, adding nothing to his doctrine. So all that is background of our text today. And I want you to keep that in mind as we look at these few verses today. Let's look at our text, Galatians 2, verses 6 through 10, and then we'll get started. But of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which also I was forward to do. Let's pray. Dear Father, please help us as we look into your word now. Please give us understanding. Please make the application on our hearts, on our lives that we need. I pray that we won't just hear what you have for us, but that we will hear, that we will apply, and that we will live the way you'd like us to live. Please help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, there's what's going on. We just read the few verses. Back to verse 6. But of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. For me, it's intriguing to hear Paul talk this way. He appears to be talking about the apostles, specifically probably Peter, James, and John, because he's going to talk about them again in verse 9. Because of the way they were reverenced by some, the title who seemed to be somewhat was used. And we'll see him use this a couple of times. But it almost seems like Paul is being sarcastic with the Judaizers here. How he's talking, he says, but of these who seemed to be somewhat. Paul knew who they were. He had all the respect for them that he should have had, that he could have. He had respect for these guys. He understand who they were. He understand their apostolic authority. They were called pillars in verse 9, and understandably so, because Christ was using them to spread the church, to start the church. So Paul is not degrading them. He had respect for them. I want to understand that, because it can almost come across shocking, as it did to me, that he says, but of those who seemed to be somewhat. He knew who they were. He was just showing the Judaizers how they lifted them up and elevated them. What he's going to do is he's going to point out that he has the same God-given authority as these men that the Judaizers were lifting up, that they were elevating. Whoever they were, whatever their title was, it doesn't matter to me. That's what Paul's saying. As you see in the next phrase, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. And for the texting world, do you see what's at the end of God accepteth no man's person? Smiley face. Just throwing that out there for free, because that's used a lot. But I can almost see Paul smiling as he's saying this. God accepteth no man's person. It doesn't matter to me who they are. Yes, they are called by God. Yes, they are pillars of the faith. But he's about to say, I have the same exact calling as these people. I have the same authority. Paul understood and stated It's not your title. It's not what you have done. It's not where you have been that allows you to be used by God. Do you see that? God accepteth no man's person. God's working in them was by His grace. Not because of their title, not because of they were somebody special. It was God's grace allowing to work in these men. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. It's just a couple pages to your left. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 through 11. So we have Paul talking here. In 1 Corinthians 15, 9, he says, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." So Paul's putting his role in perspective here. Hey, I used to be a really, really bad guy. I was killing Christians. I was persecuting people. That's where I was. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. God wasn't using Paul because he was such a great person, because he had such great accolades. It was by His grace that He was using Paul. If there was public enemy number one to the church, it was Paul back when he was Saul. But God, by His grace, is using him. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was in me." Paul did some great things for God. But where is he given the credit to? The grace of God. God working in him and through him. "Therefore, whether it be I or they," "Therefore, whether it be I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed." So what's going on here is Paul's recognizing, hey, it's no man's person. I was a real, real bad guy. And God used me. He's working through me to minister. It's all about God and His grace, not who they were. God accepteth no man's person. And I quickly want to make application here, is that we must still be careful of this mentality, that God accepteth no man's person. Because apart from Christ, we are all the same. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. But there is a temptation in any religious circle, no matter what name is on your church sign, to base your spirituality, base your relationship with Christ, base your rightness with God upon a checklist of Christian duties, if you will, where we have these things in our mind where if I do this and this and this and this, I can cross them off and I am somehow more righteous with God. Well, I read my Bible 6 hours. I prayed for 2 hours today. I am such a great Christian. You know, we can get there. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. We can think this, that we are somehow more right with God than someone else is because we can cross off our checklist. But at the end of the day, where does our rightness with God come from? It comes from Jesus Christ, not through what we have done, not through some checklist of things that we have done. We are only right with God because of the justification brought by our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. No matter what checklist we might have, it's all by God. It's all by His grace. And we must be careful of that mentality. Because God accepteth no man's person. Be thankful of His grace in your life to offer that right relationship with Him. Let's keep moving to the end of verse 6, Galatians chapter 2. "For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me." So Paul's saying, yes, they were apostles. When we had our meeting in Jerusalem, they added nothing to me. I was doing and spreading the true gospel as they were. Even after meeting with them, that didn't change. I was continuing with what God had for me. And we see that back in Acts 15. Let's move to verse number 7. But contrarywise, that's a tough word to say. It's easy to read quietly, but that's a weird word. When they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. So what's being said here briefly? They had the same gospel. They would be ministering for the most part to two different groups of people. And we see that, we know that from history, that Paul focused on ministering to the Gentiles, reaching the Gentiles. Peter ministered to the Jews. They had the same gospel. They had the same goal. What was the big goal? To glorify God, to reach people. Same goal, different types of ministry, different ways of ministry, different people groups, if you will, but same God, same ministry, same goal. Verse number 8, the verse I've been waiting for. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. So what's he saying? Me and Peter, same God. The same source was empowering both of them. And I want to try to express how neat what we're about to see in this verse is. I think it's really neat. I might just be a big nerd. I don't know. But remember what Paul is doing here. He is defending his gospel. He's defending his calling. He is trying to thwart the haters, those saying your ministry is invalid. And he uses two words here that are translated bigger than two words, but it comes from the same exact Greek word. The Greek word is energeo. So let's read the verse again, see if you can find where that word would be. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. So the same source is working in Paul that was working in Peter. That's clear. Where we find that same energeo word, talking about Peter, here it is. He that wrought effectually. Remember that. He that wrought effectually. Then you go down, talking about Peter there. The same was mighty in me. Same exact word, translated two different ways. The wording's a lot different, but do you see what it's doing here? It's saying, hey, the same source, the same energy that was in Peter, that same exact source is in me. An energeo, that sounds familiar. Where we get our word energy? One word to paint that big picture. Paul's defending himself, saying, my gospel is true. You Judaizers put so much stock in Peter and what he believes. Guess what? Same Greek word, same energy source is working in me. They have the same exact energy source driving their ministry. They were serving the same exact God. God was the one propelling both ministries. And I can almost see him like, take that, Judaizers. You think my ministry is a sham? I have the same energy source as Peter. The one who seemed to be somewhat the title you've given him, the one whom you considered a pillar, I have the same exact God empowering me. Our personalities, our methods, our styles might be different, but guess what? Same God. Peter and Paul, same exact God. Verse number 9, and when James, Cephas, and John, so Peter, James, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they go unto the circumcision. So they talk, they're going to part ways, but what they offer is the right hands of fellowship, which to us, our society, our daily lives, shaking of hands is a common thing. We just shook hands with people all over the church. You know, there's different times. You're greeting people, hello, you make a deal, you shake hands. We use handshaking, and it doesn't hold as much value, possibly. I know to some people, it's you shake hands, that's signed in blood. In this culture, in this time, this act was a solemn view of friendship, a mark of fellowship, or partnership. So we have the apostles, we have Peter, James, and John, shaking the hand of Paul and Barnabas and sending them away. Do you see the big picture of what they're doing? They're basically, you know, sharing their authority. We are on the same team. We have the same goal. We have the same God. We're in fellowship. We're sending you out. So, big time. That was a big deal. These pillars signified they were fellow laborers with Paul. Paul to the Gentiles, they to the Jews. Verse number 10, only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. So on their departing from each other, you know, same ministry, same goal, we're fellowshipping with you, go get them. They say, remember the poor. That's the departing advice. How does Paul respond to that? I was eager to do that. I had already been doing that. And we have record of Paul doing that in Acts, remembering the poor, helping out the poor. So Paul defends his ministry in a very powerful way. I have the same gospel. I have the same goal. I have the same God. I am on the same team. So I would like for us to consider the thought that Peter and Paul had the same God, the same driving force, the same energy driving them. Here's what I want you to think about. They had the same God as Abraham, as Isaac, as Jacob, as Moses. Go through the whole Bible. Same God as all those who we would consider pillars of the faith. We can look at them and we can look at their ministry and say, wow. You ever done that? Looked at Paul's life. Wow. He did it. You look at Peter. Wow. You know, they made mistakes, but wow, they did big things for God. We can look back at them. We can read about them. We can elevate them. What was their secret to all that? What's going on? We can look at them as heroes. We can say, I wish I could be like that. If we have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have the same God of the Bible driving us. Have you caught my emphasis that the energy there, Peter and Paul, same God driving them. Guess what? I have the same God as Peter and Paul, as Abraham, as Isaac, as Jacob. Same God. Christ is your Savior. Same God. You see in here, see in the application? Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. I don't want you to think I'm stretching here. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Catch these next few verses. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. The God of Paul, the God of Peter, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, through Christ, his Son, we all have the same God as them. Jehovah God, my God. The self-existent, eternal, everlasting, my God, your God. El Shaddai, God Almighty, our God. El Elyon, the Most High God, Adonai, the Lord, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the one true God, the God that's still alive, the God that is still working, the God with more titles, more abilities, more power than I could ever express, is ours. Is that not awesome? So, let's live like it. We can look back with awe. But let's live, let's serve, let's love, let's minister like we actually have the same God of the Bible working effectually, working mightily in us. We claim that's our God. At least I think you do. He's really ours. He is really empowering us. He could do all those great miracles in the Bible. He can work in people. He can help people. Guess what? Same God. And He can help us with our daily lives. Philemon, chapter 1. I just want to point you here because it's a we can kind of see this thought in action. Philemon chapter 1. Let's start in verse 1, actually, of Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. And that's the root word of that is the same Greek word, the same energy word. It's actually energeis in this spot. But that the communication of thy faith may become effectual, so that it might be energized, that it might go forward by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you. In who? In Christ Jesus. What's he saying? He's saying, this energy is there. This driving force from God is there for you to be effective. For this God of the Bible to be working in you. It's there. It's for us. How do we access it? By acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Acknowledge the fact that Christ Jesus is alive in you. That you do have that God of the Bible. Realize we have the same God as Paul, Peter, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and live like it. We have the same source as Peter and Paul. Let that sink in. Because in my life, I get discouraged. I get down. I wonder, you know, how's God going to handle this? How am I going to figure this problem? How am I going to get through this? Man, Peter and Paul would have had the right answer. They could have done it. But I have the same exact God, and I need to acknowledge Jesus Christ in me. Realize God's doing something here. God is working here. And live like I have the God of the Bible. We know all the stories. Let's let that same God come alive, come real in us. And give us that freedom to love and to serve. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the awesome God that you are. Thank you for all that you are to us, the energy that you give to us. I pray that you will help us to realize we're solely relying on you and your grace. And that we will take that and that we will have confidence in you, and that we will minister to others like we should. Please help us with our week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please stand. We'll sing song number 553.